Marriage Today presents Wisdom for Our Words by Jimmy Evans.
This message is probably the most important of this entire series. Really, this truth is a truth in life that is just really without parallel as it relates to the importance of the words that come out of our mouths. Proverbs 18, verse 20, 21, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Solomon talks a ton about words, and that's what we're going to talk about in this message. We can't read every scripture that he writes about words, but we're going to read a lot of them and talk about what the Bible says about our words, but the power of death and life are in our words. And what the Bible teaches us a couple of very important things about our words. And the first is words are nuclear in the realm of the spirit, and they are critical and consequential. What the devil wants you to believe is words are just words. They just evaporate and they're inconsequential. You're just sitting there talking, it really doesn't mean anything. The truth of it is that every word that comes out of our mouth has a consequence, and they're eternal. And I'll prove it to you through the scriptures. And this is what Jesus said now about words. Matthew 12, beginning with verse 31. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him, but whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or the age to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. And by the way, Solomon says, by the fruit of your mouth you'll be satisfied. And he refers there to our words as being seed-bearing entities. That's what fruit is. It's a seed-bearing entity. In other words, whatever you sow, that's exactly what you're going to reap back. And that's the truth of words. Whatever you give out is exactly what you're going to get back. Words are consequential, according to Jesus, eternally. And Jesus reveals to us here that our words reveal our hearts. The tree that Jesus is talking about is our heart. He said, make your heart good and your words good, or make your heart bad and the words bad. But whatever is in your heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the tree, the words, the fruits come forth. Now, let me say this to you now, and you need to understand this. Your mouth always tells you the condition of your heart. A pure mouth means a pure heart. A dirty mouth means a dirty heart. A kind mouth means a kind, loving, forgiving heart. A hateful mouth means you have a hateful heart. And you say, oh, no, you don't know. I know that I'm kind of rough on the outside and I'm kind of mean with my mouth, but on the inside, I'm just a teddy bear. No, on the inside, you're mean. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Every time you say a word that comes out of your mouth, it is telling you the condition of your heart and other people too. And so I know what's in my heart because it comes out of my mouth. That's what Jesus said. He tells us that for every idle word that we may speak, we'll give account of it in the day of judgment. Now you talk about that. Again, we live in such a smart aleck, perverse society. I mean, perversity in people's mouths, not understanding that everything they say. Jesus didn't just say every word that we speak is being recorded. He said, by your words in judgment, by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. Talk about important. And he said, even every idle word. That means just the little conversations that you're having, you know, things that you say to yourself, things that you say to other people that you think are private, that no one's listening to. And I don't know how God does it. I don't know if there's a little tattletale angel walking around with us, you know, writing everything down. I don't know how God does it. But God knows every single word that has ever crossed our lips. Now, let me give you the good news. God's recording everything, but there is an eraser on the recorder. Thank God. Because all of us have blown it in this area. Whenever we repent, whenever we go to God and say, Lord, I repent for saying that. I repent for being dirty. I repent for being unkind. I repent for whatever it is that I did. God forgives us. So God's a forgiving God. So we don't have to worry about getting to heaven one day and being reproached on something that we've repented of. And so he won't. But let me say this. For people who walk around in life and they use their mouth in a wrong way and they never take responsibility for it, they'll be shocked on the day of judgment when every single conversation, every single statement, every single word they've ever spoken will be recorded back to them, and by their words they'll be condemned, or by their words they'll be justified. Don't you ever let the devil tell you that your words are not important. And listen to this one. Our words are disproportionate. Not only are words nuclear, words are nuclear. I've got a mouth and I'm speaking to you right now, and this is what I do for a living. And I know that with my words, God has healed people. I know with my words, God has healed families and marriages. I know with my words, God encourages people. But just as surely as I have the power to do all those things with my words, I could say one or two sentences right now that could devastate you. That's how powerful words are. I could say one or two sentences that would discourage you. That for many people, that especially for young Christians, it could destroy their faith. Words are so incredibly powerful, but they're disproportionate. They have a disproportionate influence over our lives. Let me prove this to you through the scriptures. And this is James chapter 3. James says, we all stumble in many things. If any man does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths so they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. And James here takes our tongue, this little member of our body, and he compares it to three little bitty things that control great big things. He first of all controls it to a rudder on a ship. Think about a ship in the ocean, a large ship. We took a Marriage Today cruise last year. There were 6,000 passengers and 1,500 people on board this ship. It was a city on the sea. And think about how it was just a gigantic ship, had a mall in the middle of it. But that entire ship was steered by the little rudder on the back of it. This is what James is saying. Your tongue is the little bitty rudder that steers your entire life. He compares it to a bridle in a horse's mouth. Great big horse, but a tiny little piece of metal in that horse's mouth controls that entire horse. And then he compares it to a spark, tiny little spark. And we know that millions of acres of forest or grassland have burned. Many, many people's homes and lives have been destroyed by a cigarette butt that was flipped out of a car, or by just a little spark from a campfire that burned down an entire forest. And that's what he says the tongue is. Your tongue is a little bitty thing that has a disproportionate influence over the rest of your life and over the rest of my life. I'm telling you, here's another way to say it. If you don't get anything else right, get this right. You know, if you're going to focus on something in life, focus on this right here. Because whatever comes out of your mouth is going to have a huge impact. And by the way, in Proverbs, where it says that the power of death and life are in the tongue, and he who loves it will eat its fruit, the next verse says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Number one problem that people have in marriage is communication. This is the number one thing that people say they struggle with, whether it's talking about money or sex or kids or whatever it is. It's the number one problem, but it's also the number one thing that makes a good marriage. There has never, ever been a good marriage without successful communication. And in every bad marriage, there's unsuccessful communication. This is something that we need to get right. So let me talk for just a minute. I'm going to talk about the perversion of our speech, according to Solomon, what Solomon says, and about certain prohibitions on our speech and learning to restrain our words and say the right things. Let me begin by five sins of our words. These are five sins that we commit with our words that Solomon specifically talks about in the book of Proverbs. Number one is lying or bearing false witness. Number one sin, Proverbs 6:16. Listen to this. This is an interesting little list here. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift and running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. A lying tongue and a false witness who speaks lies, two of the seven abominations have to do with lying. Proverbs 12:19, the truthful lips shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is for a moment. Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. Lying, I counseled a couple in marriage, this has been 7 or 8 years ago. A very successful man was a habitual liar. He had been a liar all of his life, and his wife left him. In fact, when I counseled him, she'd already gone and come back. And she came back for me to talk to him. And as we were talking there, she had caught him in so many lies. She had no trust for him. You can't blame her. And he said when he was a little kid, he was very jealous of his sister because his sister was an overachiever. She got all the attention in the family. And so he learned to lie so he could get attention. He just makes stories up about what he had done or what he hadn't done. And he said, I just lived in a fairy tale world. And he said, but it got me attention. And people began to notice me because I would always make up some story that would make me look better than I was. The problem is it ruined his family because he was a liar. And he said, I'm a liar. He said, I tell lies every day, all day long. And he said, I don't want to do that anymore. And so God will not honor lying. And when we're lying, it's a sin. And regardless of what anybody else knows, God knows it's lying. He won't bless it. Number two, sin of our words is divisiveness or sowing discord. Using our mouth to cause trouble in relationships. Proverbs 6:12, a worthless person, a wicked man, walks with a perverse mouth. He winks with his eyes. He shuffles his feet. He points his fingers. Perversity is in his heart. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. Therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly, he shall be broken without remedy. Sowing discord. And remember, one of the things that God hates in Proverbs 6 is one who sows discord among brothers. You know, words can damage relationships so easily. And Jesus told us, blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. And peacemaker means with your mouth, you're trying to help people in relationships. It takes someone of intelligence and character to build relationships and make peace where there are problems. But anybody can kick a relationship down. Anybody can sow discord among brethren. Doesn't take any character whatsoever. So that's a sin. Number three is gossip. And I think we all know that this is a sin. And let me define gossip for you for just a minute, because the definition of gossip is rumor or talk of personal, sensational, or intimate nature. It's meaning telling things you shouldn't be telling about a person. A person who habitually spreads intimate or private rumors or facts is a gossip. You're spreading rumors or facts of kind of an intimate nature. You're talking about people and the details of their lives that you ought to be covering up and not telling. Proverbs 20:19, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. Well, let me say this real quickly. Any person you know who's a gossip is gossiping about you. And if you don't think they are, you're just not aware of the reality. My dad, I worked for my dad, you know, before I became a preacher, and there was a salesman who sold us appliances. My dad wouldn't talk to him. I honestly felt sorry for the guy because my dad wouldn't talk to him. But this guy would come in, and in the course of being in our store for an hour or two, he would tell us everybody else's business. I mean, we knew everything about everybody. I mean, we never asked him, but he would just tell you, well, did you hear about so-and-so? What did you hear about so-and-so? And my dad would stand there and never say a word to the guy except tell him, yeah, we need 100 washers, or we need, you know, 200 dryers, or give him an order or something like that. And one day I walked up to my dad and I said, Daddy, why do you treat so-and-so like that? And he said, Jimmy, anybody that tells you somebody else's business is going to tell them your business. I don't want him to know my business. I'm not saying anything to him that he can go take somewhere else. A gossip is a gossip. Don't ever think that you're their only confidant. They'll talk to anybody. And so it's a sin. Proverbs 16:28, a perverse man sows strife, and a whisper separates the best of friends. Proverbs 26:20, where there is no wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. As charcoal is to burning coals and wood to a fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the innermost body. Fervent lips with a wicked heart are like earthenware covered with silver dross. He who hates disguises it with his lips and lays up deceit within himself. When he speaks kindly, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. And so, cover it up any way you want to, but what the Bible says is when someone begins to speak to you, regardless of how they make things sound or what their intentions are, and they say, well, I just want you to be praying for so-and-so. Well, you know, that's called the ministry of information. And if someone is genuinely concerned about a person, they will not be saying inappropriate things to inappropriate people in inappropriate ways. You can tell it by their spirit. Number four, sin of our mouths is cursing. This is a big one, cursing. Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Romans 3:13, their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Proverbs 1:09, as he loved cursing, so let it come to him. As he did not delight in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing, as with his garment, so let it enter his body like water and like oil into his bones. Let it be to him like the garment which covers him and for a belt with which he girds himself continually. Now, let me say, when the Bible says the power of life and death is in our mouth, that's exactly what it means. And there are words of life that we speak that are blessing, they're encouragement, they're good words, we all know that. But there are words that are cursing. And cursing means cursing. Let me define it for you just a minute, because let me give you one word specifically, and I'm going to say this word now, and it's damn. It's in the Bible, you know. It's D-A-M-N. And you hear someone that will say those blank kids or that blank this or the blank government or the blank whatever. That word, can I give you the definition of that word? It means to curse. It means to doom to misfortune and failure. That's what that word means, to doom to misfortune and failure. And you hear people, and there are many other curse words besides that that I'm not going to say. But that's one that you hear people say a lot. You know, they just say, you know, blank this and blank this and blank this. Every time that word comes out of your mouth, you are actually saying, I doom that thing to failure and to misery. I doom that thing to failure and misery. Those children, those blank children, my wife, my husband, my job, my boss, whatever it is, you're dooming it, this house, this whatever it is. And people go around saying that, and they think, you literally pronounced a curse over it. You know, you say, well, that blank, you know, knee of mine, my lumbago, my whatever it is. Don't curse your body, bless your body. And it says, because he loved cursing, let it come to him. Like water comes into his body, like a belt around his waist. Do you realize some people have cursed so many things around them? They're living in the midst of curses and they don't even realize they pronounced it upon themselves. Don't curse. Don't curse. Because it has consequences. You think, in other words, you think your words are inconsequential? Bless it. Say, bless my body, bless my knee, bless my joints, you know, bless my children, bless my wife. Well, when do you bless them? You bless them when you don't feel like blessing them. Because when you bless them, they'll be blessed. Bless the government. Bless my enemies. Jesus said, bless those who curse you. Bless those who curse you. Don't walk around cursing all the time. It works. It works. It's consequential. The power of death is in your tongue. Don't you let the devil use your tongue to pronounce death on you and other people. You let God use your tongue to pronounce life. The power of life is in your tongue. You're either God's partner to bring life or you're the devil's partner to bring death. And I'm going to tell you something. I was a perverse man before I got saved, and I used my tongue to curse everybody and everything. And guess what? I was cursed. Well, there's no rocket science to it. I was cursed because I cursed all the time. When Karen and I got married, I was a verbally abusive man. And my wife was beaten down and our marriage was terrible because of my mouth. Got to take responsibility. Number five, sin is hurtful, hateful speech. Proverbs 12:18. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Ephesians 4, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary for edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away with you from you with all malice. Now, let me say, your words reveal your heart. When you have angry, hostile words coming out of your mouth, you haven't forgiven a person. That's just the way it is. When you can't speak of a person without saying something unkind, you haven't forgiven that person, which means you're not forgiven. The words of your mouth are revealing your heart. And the Bible says there's one who speaks like the thrustings of a sword. I just have to tell you the truth. There are some people I just dread being around. I just dread being around them. I'm thinking of a person right now. This is not a person in church. They don't know the Lord. I just do not like being in the presence of this person because I know they're going to go out of their way to say something to hurt me. This is what they do. And I'm not special. They do it to everybody. But they're just an unforgiving, bitter person, and they're just trying to spread the love and make everybody hurt along with them. And so don't be that way. And when you have those kind of words that come out of your mouth, let it be a flag to you, something is wrong in my heart. And that's where that's coming from. We talk about the prohibition of our words real quickly as I close this message. Five prohibitions or cautions from the book of Proverbs on our speech that Solomon talks about. Number one, don't respond too quickly to the comments of another person, especially when you're angry or hurt. Just be slow. Someone said one time, God gave us two ears and one mouth to tell us something. He wants us to listen more than we talk. And so here's what the Bible says, James 1:19. My dear brothers and sisters, be quick to hear and slow to speak. Proverbs 15:23. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. And I'm telling you, I've been that wicked person who just too quick with my mouth. Proverbs 18:13, he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. Have you ever been in a conversation with a person that halfway through what you're saying, they're right on top of you and they won't let you finish? And I've done that too. I mean, I've been on both sides of that conversation. Proverbs 29:20, do you see a man hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than for him. So slow down. Number two, do not respond in the same spirit to angry or abusive words. The only way you can defeat a spirit is with the opposite spirit. Here's what it says, Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A soft answer turns away wrath. Sometimes when you're in the midst of an argument with your spouse or another person, there's a lot of anger going on, you need to be the person of character that ratchets the rhetoric down and says something kind. I was playing golf one day, and there were these guys behind us who were hitting a golf ball into us consistently. We had nowhere to go. We couldn't hurry up. We had people in front of us. And we were all getting upset because when guys are hitting a golf ball into you, I mean, they can not hit you in the head and they can hurt you. And one of the guys in our group got in his golf cart and drove back to him. And the guy that was driving back to him, I thought, he's going to kill him. I mean, you know, this guy is mad and he's going to go back and kill him. And he went back to these guys on the tee box and he stepped out of his golf cart and said, guys, we're so sorry that we're playing so slow. We really are. If you want to come through us, we'd welcome you to come through us. We have a lot of people in front of us and there's really nowhere to go, but please forgive us for playing too slow. I know you're hitting your golf ball into us and that makes us uncomfortable, but if you'd like, we'll just change places with you. And at that point in my Christianity, I would not have said it that way. And I would probably be in jail or something right now. But my friend came back to us and I said, what did you say to them? And he told me what he said. And I thought, thank God he's in our foursome. I'd have gotten us killed. Ratchet it down. What a wise person he was to be humble and to say something like that. Luke 6, I say to you to hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. Bless those who curse you. Very important. Proverbs 16:21. The wise in heart will be called prudent, and sweetness of speech increases learning. People will receive from you better if you're sweet in your speech. If you're hostile with your speech, people become defensive and they close their heart to you. So you're always better off when you're kind in what you say. Number three, caution or prohibition that Solomon tells us about is don't talk too much, is Proverbs 10:19. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. When you just talk and talk and talk and talk, you're just gonna end up saying some wrong things. Proverbs 17, this is a great one. He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. And so just talking too much, you know, just talking all the time, you know, sometimes it's because of insecurity. Sometimes it's, you know, just because we've always done it that way, or we're just very verbal people. But really, we need to just kind of put a lid on it sometimes. And there's an appropriate time to talk, and there's an appropriate time to be quiet. Number four, don't brag or praise yourself. Don't brag. This is Proverbs 25. Do not exalt yourself in the presence of the king, and do not stand in the place of the great. For it is better that he say to you, come up here, than you should be put lower in the presence of the prince whom your eyes have seen. Proverbs 27:2, let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. I have a deal with the Lord, and that is he's my promoter. I will not promote myself. I just won't do it. Let me tell you why I won't. Is because A, it's wrong. It makes you look dumb when you go around bragging on yourself. And the second reason that I don't is because I don't want to put myself somewhere that God hasn't put me. See, if you promote yourself, you have to keep yourself there. If you brag on yourself and make yourself seem like something you're not, you have to keep yourself there. What I've told the Lord is, when the time is right, promote me. When the time is right, you put me wherever you want me to be with your blessing. But I'm not going to go around telling people how capable I am and how smart I am and how good I am to try to promote myself, because if I get there, I've got to stay there. But if God puts me there, he keeps me there. And so that's my deal with the Lord. I'm not going to promote myself. And so don't brag or praise yourself or make yourself look better than you are. Number five, don't respond to the words of a foolish person or those who scoff at God or his word. Don't try to convince them you're right or argue with them. They're just certain people that you just don't ever want to even really engage in conversation. Proverbs 9:8, do not correct a scoffer lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he'll love you. And really, that's the way you can tell the difference between a foolish person and a wise person, is how they respond to correction. Proverbs 23:9, do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. Proverbs 26:4, do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Now, our children might be foolish. We have to, you know, deal with them and, you know, talk to them and correct them. There may be other people that, you know, employees or someone in our lives that we're responsible for, and we have to talk to them. We have to correct them or something like that. But as I'm saying this right now, I'm thinking of an individual that always is trying to contest me. And it's not a person that goes to this church or lives in this city. They're always trying to contest me when I'm around them on, you know, why I believe what I believe. And when they try to engage me, I just kind of smile at them and go, oh, yeah. And just, you know, I just tolerate them for as long as I have to be around them. I will not engage them because they're scoffers. They don't want to believe. Now, if a person's honest and they have questions about God or questions about the Bible and they want to enter into an honest, respectful discussion, gosh, I love that. I love to help people to understand, even if they don't come all my way. I love that. I will not speak in the hearing of a scoffer, because they'll just hate me even more. They'll never believe. So don't waste your words. Just smile at them and love them and live godly life in front of them and pray for them that one day that God would change their heart. And so I hope what you've gotten out of this message is how important your words are. How important your words are. Interesting, when the early church was filled with the Holy Spirit, first thing God did was take hold of their mouth and change their speech. Jesus said in Mark 16, those who are believers will speak with new tongues. And I do believe that that's speaking in tongues, but also believe that God changes the nature of our words when we make him the Lord of our lives.
This concludes session 4. Please continue with Wisdom for Parents and Children, the next teaching in this series.